Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It is great to be with you. Hey, I ask you to do a couple things when you come on here. Listen, we are on a digital platform here, whether you're listening to us on your favorite radio station, radio network, live streaming, whatever it would be. We are available to reproduce and send out. Now, don't claim the work as your own. The only other thing that that's the only thing I care about here. We're going after some people on Rumble who say they're me and they're using my work and then saying things that are discrediting what we try to stand for. I just want to be really, really clear about one thing here. You don't have to be a Christian to listen to this, but I am decidedly a Christian. I'm decidedly a patriotic American. I have moral standards I try to live up to. I tried the ways of the world. It doesn't work. And I've come to the realization that you're always going to be in conflict. There is no such thing as a conflict-free life. If you choose the way of the world, you're in conflict with Jesus on Judgment Day. And I wouldn't look forward to the lake of the fire. Okay? No, thank you. No, thank you at all. I don't want that. Done. But if, on the other hand, you choose Jesus, you're going to be in conflict with the way of the world. And I look at someone like Eric West, Hawaiian Realty, fired by Keller Williams. And what's his crime? Saying, things aren't right here. There are problems. And he documented problems, didn't make them up, didn't say, hey, some secret source told me. He didn't do that. He came out and absolutely, positively said, there are problems. I'm going to say it very bluntly, and I want you to hear this and hear this clearly. I'm going to be very, very, very blunt here. At minimum, from the governor to the former emergency management director to the former head of the water that was not released, sirens not sounded, police chief who ordered the exits blocked, despite his denials, we have the video proof. We have the eyewitness testimony proof. These people are guilty, in my humble opinion, of criminal negligence, at minimum. And I want you to hear what I'm saying, at minimum. It could get a lot worse. If you want to go into, you think there is evidence of directed energy weapons, I'm not an expert, but I can tell you this, I'm not stupid. I can see when a car is destroyed and there's vegetation growing around it, yet the car had its metal melted. And by the way, the police chief admitted to this. And let me tell you something else about this police chief. He's also the coroner. That's illegal under Hawaii statute. That is illegal. It's not a question of interpretation, case law. It's nothing. It is a statute. Now, why would he be the coroner at the same time he's also the police chief? Because he can control the body count. And this is what I'm going to lead to, and this is what I'm going to say, and I want you to hear me very, very clearly. There were 3,001 students in the Lahaina School District. Okay, that's a fact. There were 400 students relocated to other school districts initially, and 200 went to alternative learning like virtual. That's 600. That means you're missing about 2,400 kids. Now, the Department of Education came out and said they've accounted for 400 more kids. Okay, so now we're down to 2,025. Yet this governor, who seems to be a stranger to the truth, he's saying, and his emergency people are saying, there's only 385 missing people, and we have, what, 115 bodies? Okay, let's do the math. That's 500 people. No, that's not right. I want to know where the children are. And now there's an additional complication. I can't deny what I have seen with video evidence with my own eyes. On the morning of the fire, we know that tourists were taken out. Now we know how they were taken out. They were taken out by Lahaina School District buses. We have the video proof. I've seen it. Now, the day before the fire, there were 15 large school buses, each capable of carrying 72 kids, that were in that bus parking lot, available from Google Earth. This is where this information comes from. The day after the fire, they're all missing. Now, I would buy the argument that maybe they just kept the buses at the Maui airport or some off-site location near the Maui airport because it wasn't safe to go back into the burn zone. I agree with that. Okay, but here's the criminal negligence and maybe worse. If you saw the foresight to move the tourists, why wouldn't you do the same thing for your residents of Lahaina? And then why would you not sound the sirens? Why would you, and by the way, that statute, they'll sound the sirens. They say it's for tsunami. I mean, did you hear the explanation given by Adaya, the former emergency director, and then the governor echoed it? Oh, yeah, we're trained that if we hear those sirens, we run uphill, and we'd have run into the fire, and we'd all been burned to death, and da-da-da-da. Bull crap. Like, people are so stupid they can't see a fire and they're going to keep running towards it because some siren's blaring. No, they would have heard the siren. And by the way, then the emergency director, Adai, he came out and he said, yeah, they might have had the music on in their house and they wouldn't have heard it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, it's statute. It's for all emergencies, including fires. Blocking the exits, police chief. Yes, you did. I've seen the evidence. And withdrawing any water that could have been used to fight the fire. Now, I don't know how much more clear it has to be. They trapped those people. And to me, when you look at the totality of the evidence, it looks like they wanted to drive up the death toll. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why until it hit me. The developers want that land. They don't want the heirs, surviving family members, to get it and try to rebuild. They want it lock, stock, and barrel. The government wants it for their smart city. Don't deny it, Governor. I read the minutes that are going to be the agenda for your meeting on September 25th. We know you were at the UN espousing 15-minute cities 1 month before this. We know that you withdrew historical preservation by executive order, which is illegal. Now you're being sued over it. Stop lying, Governor. Stop lying. And when you got confronted at a public meeting, it was non-hostile, your UN handlers took you out. They took you out of the meeting. So these people are so flipping guilty. It's just stunning to me. Stunning. They trapped those people. That I can say. By the way, school started on August 7th. The fire was on August 8th. The authorities lied and said school didn't start until August 9th. Bullcrap. They were sent home on the date of the fire. Now, did they board these buses and get taken to unknown locations for nefarious purposes? I can't rule that out any longer. First, I thought that was nonsense. I thought it was absolute sheer nonsense. How'd those kids get home? I mean, none of these questions are answered. I could poke more holes in the bullcrap stories they're telling from the government, and the mainstream media won't cover it. There's more holes in the story than Swiss cheese. I mean, that's plain and simple. So we're going to leave this story here, and I just want to say this to you very clearly. There's a media merger coming in the alternative media that's going to change the landscape of all media. And guess what? We have a guest who's going to tell us all about it, and maybe we can start getting truthful reporting. Stay tuned. Our guest name is Floyd Brown, and this will be one of the most important interviews that I've done. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show, Freeing America One Enslaved Mind at a Time. Thank you so much for being with us. Really glad to be with you. We have a great show for you today. We have a major, major media announcement, and we're going to be talking about the major media announcement that's going to just shake, I think, especially alternative media. But I think it's also going to have an impact on mainstream media as well, too. And we've got Floyd Brown here to talk to us about that and about everything else. He's a fellow Arizonan. He owns and operates the Western Journal, is the author of six books. His latest book is Counterpunch. And we'll talk to you about that before we leave. But my gosh, we're talking about this media merger that's fantastic. And I got to tell you, we really got to step up our action here on our side of the fence, because I believe we're running out of time when we have things like central bank digital currency coming in, which to me is the end of all freedom. And the other stuff, we now get looking at a looming, I think, another set of lockdowns coming. All the signs are there. We have some real challenges that are facing us. And we need strong media voices to wake people up from the doldrums. And we just don't have enough. Not yet. Floyd, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Dave, it's great to be with you, and I can't agree with you more. The truth is that America hangs by a thread, in my opinion, and one of the biggest problems we've had is for nearly most of my lifetime, the corporate media has been controlled by the globalists. And so they take really things and blow them up big, and then they totally and completely ignore the major stories of our time. And when you finally do get a voice of, you know, real reason in the mainstream media, what happens is they end up going the way of Tucker Carlson and get, you know, thrown off because they won't, you know, kowtow to the globalist corporate media line.
Absolutely.
So one of the biggest problems that we've had in alternative media has been unbelievable tech suppression. Whenever we talk about certain issues, you know, it's not just the media firms that we're competing with. What we have to also contend with is the distribution channels. You have to worry about, are you going to be canceled by Facebook? Are you going to be canceled by YouTube? Are you going to be canceled by, you know, Twitter, and which is now X? Or are you going to be canceled by Instagram? And so these vehicles that Americans have come to depend upon as the new public square are being curated, and we have to build scale, which means we have to get large enough to be able to penetrate that corporate media veil. So that's why, you know, I'm behind this merger of AMP News 100% to try and bring more alternative news voices front and center for people to hear.
I think it's such a great thing, and we'll get into the specifics in a second, but let me just share with you in the audience what I experienced just briefly. I've been all over the Lahaina situation, and Floyd, I'm not saying this lightly, and I'm not making inflammatory charges. We are looking at extreme cases at minimum of criminal negligence that resulted in the extreme loss of life. There's some evidence that should be looked into for pre-planning. I would not go into court and say that right now definitively because I don't have all the facts, but I have enough to be suspicious. And then after the fact, what they did to those people and what they're doing right now is absolutely criminal, but not a word in the mainstream media, not a word. And there was one journalist over there I've had some contact with, and he turned into a journalist. He was a realtor. His name's Eric West. He's lost his job for speaking up. He was working with the biggest developer on the islands. No surprise he got fired because they want to carve up Lahaina. And this man has been has had his life threatened. Heck, I've had my life threatened for my reports on Maui. And these people are lying about no UN involvement, no smart city. Yet I've got documents that show meeting after meeting after meeting where they're discussing UN policies. And I got a video of the governor at the UN with Agenda 2030 in the background on the placard. So, but mainstream media, it's not true. It's a conspiracy theory. That's why I'm so looking forward to this major media. And someone asked me the other day, Dave, aren't you worried about competition? That's not why I do this. I do this because I care about what our kids are inheriting, and they're inheriting in a country that's going to be a piece of crap if we can't turn it around. So let's get into this.
On that question of competition, I get asked that question all the time about competition. And the way I respond is alternative media is so tiny. We're like a speck compared to these huge conglomerates of CBS, NBC, Comcast, you know, Universal Studios, Paramount. I mean, they're gigantic companies, Disney, operating at such a different level than we're operating at. We could all grow 1,000% a year for the next 10 years, and we still wouldn't catch it. And so, you know, we are, you know, we're the alternative. It's where you come for the real truth. It's where you come for real investigative journalism. But in terms of competition, no, we're competing against the mainstream media. We can all grow our footprint, and we can all have great success, and it'll be a long time before we start bumping into each other.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I talk to some of the biggest people on our side of the fence and we share guests. There's personal differences I've seen. I avoid those. I just put them in the side because I don't have time for it. But we share guests, we share information. Sometimes we're on each other's shows. The level of cooperation here is not what you see in the networks. It's not cutthroat fight for ratings. We're fighting for our country. For me, I'm fighting for my faith because I think my faith of Christianity is under extreme attack, and I think it's only going to get worse. So that's why I do this, and this is why I so welcome what you're doing. Let me mention the two companies that are merging here: Conservative Broadcast Media and Journalism, and America Media Periscope News, AMP News. And I've interviewed a couple of people out of AMP, and boy, I'll tell you, impressive, impressive stuff. Talk about the media, how a media merger, how it came about, and what kind of impact you're expecting in terms of volume.
Well, actually, it came about because of General Flynn. And General Flynn, if you listen to what he says, he's constantly saying we need to cooperate more, we need to work together more, we need to come alongside each other more in this tremendous battle. And he is the one that first identified AMP News as a company that had great potential, and he thought that that if we could bring some of our technological expertise and help it in some ways, it could grow tremendously. Let me just tell my own story with Western Journal. A lot of people don't know the story of Western Journal, but Western Journal started in 2008 is my own personal blog. And that just happened to be the same year Facebook opened to the public. And so my son, who was in college at the time, he had been on Facebook as a college undergraduate. That's who started on Facebook. It was basically a place for college students to communicate. And he said to me, "Hey, Dad, you need to check out this Facebook platform." And so I started posting my commentaries on Facebook very early in 2008 and 2009. And then we just started to take off and we grew right along with Facebook to the point where in 2016, which was 8 years later, we were featured in the Facebook news feed 11 billion times. And that led to over 1 billion page views at Western Journal. So then Donald Trump got elected, and all of the Silicon Valley, glitterati, for lack of a better term, turned to Mark Zuckerberg and basically said, "Hey, Mark, if you hadn't let all of these conservatives and Christians on your platform, Donald Trump would have never been elected." So in 2017, Mark Zuckerberg started changing the Facebook algorithm, and instead of getting what they wanted on Facebook, he started to curate the messages to give them what he felt as an elitist they needed. And so Facebook literally flipped overnight from kind of a free-for-all of ideas to a propaganda machine that was intended to train and manipulate the people that were on the platform. And so when he did that, he took Western Journal's traffic down a full 90%. So I'm the guy that walked into my business one day and it was 10% the size it had been the day before. And I had 125 employees. I had all of these journalists that were writing for the platform. We were the 60th largest website in America and the fourth largest publisher on the Facebook platform when that happened. And so, for all intents and purposes, the Western Journal should be out of business. But I like to say what they meant for evil, God meant for good, because we had to completely retool the business, rebuild the business, change the way we operated the business. And we pivoted away from the Facebook platform as our primary tool for reaching people. And we learned a lot of important lessons in those years, 2017, 2018, 2019, and even up into 2020, so that we actually launched an entire new company called Firefly Engagement, where we help people that are suppressed by big tech get around big tech and try and get their messages and reach their audiences fighting against big tech. So what General Flynn knows a lot about this, and he's worked quite a bit with us. And he said, well, I think, Floyd, you know, if you can come alongside AMP, you're going to be able to grow that platform substantially. And that's, you know, the reason behind the merger and what we're doing.
You couldn't be with a better person. I interview Clay Clark quite a bit. And I don't think there's a conversation that Clay and I have where General Flynn doesn't come up in some positive regard. So, yeah, I'm so encouraged by this. I really am. Let's talk about some sheer numbers here. What can you tell the public about the impact based on volume that you're going to have?
Well, I mean, I never want to, you know, blue sky things, but, you know, and I always want to be modest about our projections. So I don't want to, you know, really put any numbers out there that we're going to achieve. AMP's already reaching a substantial audience, and they have, you know, a great Roku channel. They have, you know, distribution online. Our goal is to increase that. We want to see if we can get them some apps in the Android store, some apps in the Apple store, so that those platforms will be more accessible to viewing. And we're gonna try and combine, you know, the audience of Western Journal, help them find, you know, help people find these podcasts more effectively. But, you know, what we really want to do, Dave, and this is what we've been working hard to do, is we have a real desire to monetize Patriot podcasts. And AMP's been very good at helping a lot of these podcasts generate revenue, which is one of the hard parts of being an alternative news media, because none of the major advertisers want to advertise. So you have to walk a different path. And that's why companies such as MyPillow and Kirk Elliott Gold and others have been so strong in helping the Patriot movement monetize these podcasts. And so that's part of our vision also, is to help a lot of shows that aren't even on the AMP network gain greater revenue. And as they gain greater revenue, they can use that to gain greater audience, greater distribution. And eventually, my vision includes going out and buying actual physical radio stations so that we can clear this programming over AM radio, in addition to the places online that it's currently clearing. The truth is that tech suppression is going to continue to grow, and we have to be prepared for that. You know, I for one hope that you know, we can have some election victories here ahead in 2024. And 2026. But irrespective of whether we're victorious in those elections or not, the alternative media has to continue to move forward, because we are like Paul Revere riding our horse through the villages, sharing the information that they need to have. And instead of saying the British are coming, this time we're saying the communists are coming, and you've got to get prepared in your village.
Communists haven't only come, they've largely succeeded in taking over the key pressure points. At some point in time, well, I'm going to go back to what you said, though. You're absolutely right. I'm on a lot of different venues, and I will tell you, the second least productive venue I have is my podcast, yet it reaches the most people. That's what's bizarre about that, Floyd. I, on Listen Notes, and I'm not trying to brag, but they have me ranked in the top one half of 1%. Of 3 million podcasts they do. but it's one of the least productive venues we have in terms of attracting advertisers. My big advertisers gravitate towards other things. You know, Noble Gold is probably our biggest advertiser right now. And then we sell the storable food. And the food goes to the podcast, but Noble Gold goes to other areas. And so do a lot of our other advertisers. What do you think it is about podcasting that is less attractive despite the volume of numbers that one can generate? I'm sure you're seeing some of the same thing. We need to make podcasting appealing to mainstream advertisers.
Yeah. Podcasting is, the left has done a very good job of monetizing podcasts. And if you look at people like NPR, they have a huge podcasting network that is really, you know, hard left political that attracts most of the major advertisers. The problem we have on the right is we're under advertising suppression. And just as, you know, you see it from time to time, I remember when there was, you know, a boycott of the Rush Limbaugh show, and then later there was a boycott of Tucker Carlson. They try to pick off the largest conservative voices and try and broadcast those. Michael Savage, when he was on the air, he used to always be facing advertising boycotts. So, but podcasts are incredibly effective because it is appointment listening. So I remember back in the day, you know, I would try to, you know, be in my car when Rush Limbaugh was on because I wanted to listen to Rush Limbaugh. But chances are, you know, maybe I might listen once a week, and or twice a week if I was lucky to be in the car from 9 to noon when he was on, you know, where I was living in Arizona. And so the truth is, with a podcast and with most of the major cars now that have, you know, the ability to listen to podcasts, we can listen when we're driving. We can listen at home. The podcasts that I like to enjoy, I can listen to them at my time rather than having to, you know,
that's true,
make sure that I turn on my radio at the right time. So, but the challenge for podcasts is that they have difficulty reaching a mass audience. It takes time to build those podcasts up. But once they do, they can be unbelievably effective and profitable and generate a lot of revenue for the host that's involved.
Yeah, well, I guess we're not starving off of that, but I'm just saying it's interesting to me that that's the biggest volume we have, but and it's one of the least productive.
And that is the major, that's one of the major issues we want to try and solve through this merger, because what we're going to focus on is helping these podcasts generate revenue. And the way we do that is by building a mass audience. That way, advertisers, if the audience is big enough, advertisers take a lot of interest. So by combining forces and working together, we can get to those audience numbers that really make these podcasts important and significant to the, you know, advertisers want to reach audiences, and but they want to be able to do it and have it generate revenue for their company. And so you've got to, you know, have enough of an audience there that they can pay you for that clearance, and that's going to generate enough revenue to hit their bottom line. So that's why scale is so important, and why we're always pushing for a greater scale in what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, I have to dumb down my YouTube, obviously, because of content censorship. So I use it like you know, you're looking at an old teacher and college professor. And so I use it like a 101 class. It's an entry level class, and this is what's going on. But go here for more information. Advertisers love to go to YouTube. They love it. I have so much contract ads with YouTube, it's unbelievable. Yet when you try to put them in a podcast, and my podcast numbers are a little above my YouTube numbers, and there just isn't the interest. And that's where the gap I've got to bridge. And I know a lot of fellow broadcasters say the same thing. Yet, Floyd, the thing is, I'm finding I've got a friend in Colorado. He says he and his fellow farmers will listen to my podcast when they're on their tractors. In fact, one of them said my daughter was in a repair shop the other day in Nebraska, and he said they were playing my show. And she said, oh, my dad's friends with that guy. So we've got really interesting penetration. It's just the revenue. We've got to really beef that up, because we need that would help us compete with the radio stations that are leftist and so forth. And that's really my goal.
Yeah, well, that's my goal too. So we can work together on that, Dave.
Absolutely. I hope so. This is why I'm so excited about what you're doing. I don't have to be the one to lead the charge and be successful. I'm trying. I'm doing my best every day, but we need to have somebody. Some people do it, and this is why.
Well, one of the reasons that we're doing it this way is, you know, CBMJ, Conservative Broadcast Media Journalism, is a publicly traded company. So any patriot that wants to invest in the podcasting, they can go and buy CBMJ stock. And, you know, right now it's a micro cap, but you can buy it at E-Trade or you can buy it at Interactive Brokers. There's a lot of places you can buy it. And the ticker symbol is CBMJ. But that's a way that our listeners and the people that care about the patriotic movement can, you know, invest with their own dollars the same way you do and I do now. That's part of the value of this merger. It's a publicly traded company that AMP News is merging with. And so that is, I think, where we're going to drive the real value over time.
Yeah, we're on Roku and, you know, a lot of those types of Apple and so forth. So the potential is there. But what I'm wondering is about the suppression that could be coming. And I wanted to get into the FCC a little bit with you. I see horror stories about people Biden's trying to put on FCC decision-making boards. And I'm concerned that we will see outright suppression of the First Amendment against people like yourself and myself. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, you know, we have a long history of Christian broadcasting. We have a long history of conservative broadcasting. And you're right, Dave, they're going to come for it with all guns blazing. I mean, think about when there's a communist revolution. What's the first thing that they do? They go in and they take over the broadcast tower.
That's right.
That is, I mean, it doesn't matter what country the revolution's in. That's the first thing communists want to get control of is news and information. And so that's why the globalist media dislikes us so and spends so much time focusing on trying to get us off the air and really tries to silence us. And they do it through a combination of things. They try to hit our revenue by stopping advertisers from advertising with us. They try to do it using the power of government and the FCC. But, you know, I believe that we have to continue to use every single channel that we can to distribute our content. So, you know, we may be small, but we're going to be everywhere. And we're going to try to continue to be everywhere. And we're going to use, you know, we're like the ninjas of media. You know, we have to sneak in under cover of darkness and distribute our programming. But we're going to do it. We're going to keep doing it. And we have an audience. Our audience wants our content, and they're going to find us. And we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that content keeps broadcasting. And it's not just conservative content. It is Christian content also. Absolutely. Because, you know, they don't like the Bible. They don't like that the Bible calls their sexual sin, sin. And so they have targeted the Church of Jesus Christ. And they're doing a couple of different things. Either they want a pride flag flying out in front of that church and change the church from within, or the conservative voices that stick to the Bible, they have been targeted for suppression the same way conservative media has. And it all has to do with, do you believe Scripture is real? Do you believe it's the Word of God? And do you believe it to be true? They don't mind the Bible as long as we don't believe it.
It's interesting you'd say that. I do a weekly show with a former DHS supervisor, combat Marine, and he was on YouTube, and he called out pedophilia, but he didn't, like Joe Biden, he wasn't defamatory, didn't do all that stuff. He just said, here's the incidents, here's what's happening, and he just attacked it, and he attacked it from a Christian perspective. Now, you could go on 1,000 sites on YouTube and find the same thing that they wouldn't take action against, but he brought in the Word of God, and he caught it right away. When he appealed, he said, you're after me because of God, not because I talked about what's on 1,000 other channels. And you're absolutely right. The Christian, this is an example of what I'm talking about with the Christian persecution that's going on.
But it's a specific type of Christian, Dave. It is a Christian that believes in the Bible. And, you know, they're fine with Christians. They love Christians that stand up and give you, you know, psychobabble sermons that really aren't based in Scripture. And there's a lot of churches that will do that. You can go on Sunday and they'll tickle you with some good music, and they'll tickle you with some good, psychobabble about how you can better your life. The people they really fear are those that actually believe that Scripture is the Word of God, and that it's still available today for teaching and for life-giving, and it is the fountain of life. And so that is really important to understand. There's a lot of churches today that are stepping back from, you know, chapters like Romans 1, and, you know, that calling out sin. They don't mind church as long as church doesn't call out sin.
Yes.
But Jesus called out sin, and, you know, he wanted to heal people. The first step to getting that type of healing, is to understand what's causing that pain. And it's usually sin at the root. And so the churches that are under suppression and the voices that are under suppression in media are those that are calling out, really with clarion calls, truth into our culture. And a lot of times it's around the sexual sin. And in particular now, this whole movement in America to try and make sex between children and adults acceptable. And we have to understand, you know, they call it MAP,
minor attracted persons. Yeah.
Right. And just like the word gay came on the scene when you and I were younger, MAP is their new word for, you know, oh, hey, he's just MAP. Well, what that means is he's a pedophile, and, you know, he's wanting to have sexual relationships with these young children. It's why they do these gay things, you know, these drag shows and stuff, and they have little kids in there because they're desensitizing these kids to this kind of behavior. And it is straight from the pit of hell, and it has to be called out. And so people that are calling it out are the ones who are under the greatest text suppression. And Dave, I hope I don't get you canceled by saying that on your show.
I don't make any compromises. If someone cancels me, so be it. You know, I am, you know, and I'm proud to say this, I'm an uncompromising Christian, and no one's going to stop me.
Well, I love Jesus. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's my testimony. But I also believe Jesus is king of all of my life. He's not just king of my life on Sunday. Okay. He's king over my family. He's king over my business. He's king over every single day, Monday through Sunday, or Sunday through Saturday. He's king over me all the time, and he should be king over everything I do. And so that is the kind of Christian that they really want to cancel, are those where the Word of God gets into them and actually transforms them through the renewing of their mind to make them new in Jesus Christ. And that is how people are healed. And that's how people can get their lives turned around. It's when Jesus really gets in you and transforms you, that's when real change comes. And that's the solution to all of the problems America faces. And that's why they're trying to suppress it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a pastor in Scottsdale, Mark Driscoll. And Mark, in a recent sermon that I heard, he went through all the Christian subsets. And I don't want to quote them and say them because I don't have it committed to memory and I don't want to make a mistake. But he quoted the thousands of churches by denomination that are embracing sexual perversion as a matter of doctrine now in their church bylaws. And I knew that there was penetration made. Okay. I was aware of that. I didn't know how much the church had been compromised. I think, honestly, Floyd, when I look at the health of churches today, I think in the Protestant denominations, I think it would be far harder to find a church that preaches the true word of God than the bastardized word of God influenced by our government and our society.
Yeah, well, you can know almost immediately, Dave, because a lot of these churches now are flying the LGBTQ flag
yes.
on their pole out front. They've replaced the Christian flag with yes. the LGBTQ flag. And I mean, when I was a young man, they were flying the American flag and the Christian flag, which had a cross on it. Now they're flying the new pride rainbow, which is different than the rainbow. They've actually changed the colors of what was the real rainbow that was given to Noah and is the promise of God that he'll never destroy man again. So the truth is that Scripture is very clear. Romans 1, if you want to go read it, God will allow people, if they are going to engage in this kind of sexual sin, it is actually a punishment. Homosexuality is a punishment that comes upon a nation that has rejected God. And that's why I believe it is so powerful in this nation right now. And we have to turn, and we have to really repent of all sexual sin if we want to save America.
I agree. I'm repulsed when I see exhibitions of it in the media, and I'm not looking, but you just see it. And I think that's the internal soul that's speaking. It's not so much a judgment of the person, but it's just the act is just, to me, so repulsive. And I think that's part of our defense
themselves.
Mechanism. Yeah,
I agree. They're debasing themselves and their humanity. And the next thing that they're doing, and I was actually, my wife was reading to me from the book of Jude last night as we were getting ready to go to bed. We were in bed and she was reading the book of Jude, which is a very short book, but literally in the book of Jude, it actually talks about what I would call transhumanism. And it talks about changing the flesh and literally that's what is happening through this whole transgender movement, is they're trying to physically transform their flesh. And their rebellion to God is so great that they're rebelling away against the way God made them as male and female. And so this is pure and total rebellion. And it's all laid out in Scripture. And if you want to understand it, and I always tell folks, you know, if you want to understand what's going on in the news, read the Bible, because the Bible gives you the eyeglasses to see what's going on in society. It helps you discern what's going on in society. And so, you know, there's nothing new under the sun as we're taught in Ecclesiastes. And that's true. All of this has happened before, including transgenderism, which in the pagan world was what they were doing. They were engaged in all of this kind of sexual sin when Paul was walking the streets of Corinth.
Yeah, I have a friend over three decades long. He was in the NSA attached to NATO in the late 80s. And they were taught This is interesting. And so even the left will use this doctrine, but they don't embrace the Christian part of it, that there was a war in the cosmos. Good guys and bad guys fought. The bad guys lost. They were sent to Earth and they wanted to take over the soul, but they couldn't figure out how to do it. So now they're working on morphing the human being. And my friend described this in a book he wrote called Unbroken Promises. And he described transhumanism to a T in the early 90s, long before there ever was the term transhumanism. So I think that's the end game. When we look at where this is all headed, they want very few of us, maybe as a servant class, but they want to try to find immortality through the singularity concept of transhumanism. And I think this is where it's headed, and it's totally satanic.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more, Dave.
I want to get back to the media merger here, though. Do you have any projections? And I know you're going to be modest about this, but where this will put you in terms of ranking, numbers, and you know your share? What could you tell the audience about what to expect?
Yeah, that is the most difficult question, Dave. Many of the shows that are already on AMP have substantial audiences and they reach a lot of people. And I'm hopeful that will, grow by 50 and then 100 and then eventually 1,000% through, much better sure. marketing and better technology to reach people. But I can't give you, an exact number. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I know I've asked the question two different ways.
I know. And I've not answered it two different ways, but, the truth is that, that's the future. And I'm not very good at predicting the future. What I do know is that we're going to bring the best technology, to some really quality hosts, and we're also going to bring the best of monetization to all kinds of different people that are on AMP and not on AMP, and we're going to work hard every day to make all our alternative media bigger and more significant. But where that takes us, I don't know. I believe God is looking for people that want to be his hands and feet on earth and carry the message forth. And so, if he causes us to have favor, we will grow. All we are called to do is be good stewards of the opportunities that he gives us to speak truth into the culture. And that's what we're going to keep doing.
Yeah. And my question, I should have phrased it a little bit better. Question I was looking at is, you have company one and company two and joining, and each company has its own standing now. And the combination of the two would equal something, I think, very significant. That's where
we will reach millions of people every month. Okay. That's, I would say right now, before the combination, each are reaching between 30 and 50 million a month.
Whoa.
And so should double. We don't know how many of those people are the same people though. So we'll see. My goal is to get a company that reaches 100 million people a month, between now and 2024.
One of the things I've given thought to, but it's more just in the thinking stage, was finding a way to make my broadcasts available in Spanish. Immigration, I think people should come into this country legally. On my dad's side, I'm first generation, the son of an immigrant, but I'm going to say this, they're here and that's the reality. And we need to find a way to reach these people because they're coming in right now, not knowing anything about our system. And that's the group that'll be manipulated against us politically.
I totally agree. And the technology in that area, is growing rapidly. Nick Vujicic, I don't know if you know Nick, he's an evangelist. He's actually the guy with no arms and legs. And Nick has a company called Multihood, M-U-T-I-H-O-O-D, Multihood. And that company is doing real-time translation. And as a result of that, you know, he's reaching like 50 different countries right now. And so the ability to reach not just America, but the globe gets better and better all the time. And so, you know, I always tell the globalists when they call me a Christian nationalist, I say, you don't understand Christianity. We're not just coming for America. We're coming for the world.
Yeah, well, that's one phrase. I love that. I was sent something the other day that I fear greatly. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. I don't know if you've heard that chant, but I was sent that. I was, you know, I don't enmesh myself in watching what they do. I worry about what I do mostly, and I react when it goes over the board. But I saw that, and I just said, man, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of millstones that are going to be manufactured for these people coming for our children. But you know what? They were serious. They got criticized for it. And they apologize, but you know what? They wouldn't have been chanting it if they didn't mean it. And this is a great fear. They are coming for our kids.
But they're also doing something else, Dave, and that is they are activating thousands, hundreds of thousands of what I call mama bears. And these mama bears are, you know, they're not sending their young six-year-old to school to learn how to become a woman. They're sending their young six-year-old son to school to learn how to do math and, you know, read and learn about history and science and other things. And so all of a sudden, all of these mama bears that have been activated around the country are going to be speaking out on these things. And so I think that the left has gone a bridge too far. They've tried too much and they've tried to accelerate too quickly. And as a result, there's a huge backlash against that. And that's part of what we want to continue to encourage.
Well, there is a potential audience that's huge that doesn't show up on research polls or market surveys. And that's the people that aren't buying Bud Light, aren't going to Target, and aren't patronizing Disney. That number is astronomical. And that gives me hope, because that tells me these people are open for the word of God if they're not already there. And they're certainly voting with their pocketbooks that they don't want this perversion. And that gives me hope that that's a whole audience that's available for us to reach. And this is why I'm excited about what you're doing. Is the combination of the two companies going to carry a single name, or are you going to operate as your own under your own name entities?
We're going to continue to operate under the names of the current entities. We're not going to change the news.
Yeah.
So it'll still be AMP News, and it'll still be Conservative Broadcast Media Journalism. So.
This is so fascinating here. I would imagine you've drawn some attention from people, investors, advertisers that want to be a part of this. Is that a correct assumption?
That is. And there's a lot of people that are excited about this and the opportunity to reach this audience. And they have a way they can invest. You know, they can buy stock. Last I looked, CBMJ stock was trading at like 11 cents a share. So it's, you know, it's a brand new company. It's a time when you can get in on the ground floor. So it's exciting.
Well, Floyd, you know, I played college basketball. I coached it, and was highly competitive, but in this arena, I am not. It's all, how can we help each other? So this is what I want to leave you with. And I mean this sincerely, and I know my audience will be behind this. Anything that we can do to help you guys move forward with this, any attention that we could give you, we would love to do so, which is why CJ will tell you, the person who booked this interview, CJ will tell you how anxiously I wanted to do this for this reason. So please don't hesitate to call on me.
Well, and likewise, Dave, let's continue to keep in touch. I enjoy being on your program, and it's good to visit with you. And we will keep that in mind. And if we can do anything for you, likewise, we want to help you.
I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, Floyd Brown and a terrific merger, terrific future. They're going to reach more people. They're going to save some souls. and hopefully a lot. And they're going to bring the truth to people and hopefully give us an atmosphere that will contribute to us taking our country back from the Bolshevik communists that have usurped it. Floyd, thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
Great to be with you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.